Well, good morning, Village family. It's wonderful. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you here in this sanctuary. And I also want to welcome those of us who are worshiping with us online. A special shout out to our online worshipers as well. I'm delighted to be here as your deacon to bring you this morning's announcements. But before we do that, let us take a moment to pass the peace. We have several announcements to bring to your attention this morning. First, we'd like to welcome Reverend Aaron Henry. We are very happy that you could be with us today. I'm going to be introducing you officially at the end of our announcements. Everyone, the Village Voice is out. Make sure that you pick up an address copy for those who are on the paper mailing list. But if you are not on the paper mailing list, that means that you have received the voice via email, so please be sure to check that out. Save the date. Our annual church picnic is on September 22nd, an awesome time for former youth group members. You're adults now, but our former youth group members, we'd really love you to come out. Come together, get together. Please, if you're in touch with any of our former youth group members, please make sure that you reach out and let them know. If you are interested in providing special music, you have a special talent that you'd like to share and worship with us, please make sure that you contact Carlin or Ken. Finally, if you'd like your name removed from the deacon election list, please notify the church office by September 8th. You can give us a call or just secretary@villagebaptistbowie.org. It is now my pleasure to introduce our guest preacher for today, Reverend Aaron Henry. Pastor Aaron Henry is a seasoned pastor, communicator, and leader with more than three decades of ministry experience. He currently serves as a communications and media manager at Lot Carey, a global Christian missional community that supports churches and communities in the U.S. and around the world. He is also the chair of the Media Commission of the Jamaica Baptist Union. Pastor Aaron served several congregations as senior pastor in Jamaica. He was actively involved in various leadership roles within the JBU, Jamaican Baptist Union, and the wider Baptist family, including as a member of the JBU Executive Committee. From 2006 to 2018, Pastor Aaron worked as the Associate Director of Communications at the Baptist World Alliance, the global organization for Baptists. He is a past member of the Board of Directors of the Religion Communications Council, a professional association of communicators of faith. A gifted public speaker and preacher, he has traveled extensively to more than 30 countries across 5 continents, engaging with diverse cultures and contexts. Pastor Aaron is also a writer and author who has published several books, including Varieties of the Christ, Perspectives on Christianity and Culture, Constitutionally Religious, What the Constitutions of 180 Countries Say About Religion and Belief, and Reverend Mother, which is a novel. He has also written educational materials for Vacation Bible School and is the editor of the Jamaica Baptist Reporter newspaper. Pastor Aaron holds degrees and diplomas from the University of the West Indies and the United Theological College of the West Indies in Jamaica and Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He is married to Darnette, who joins us today, and they have two adult daughters, Joyvelle and April. He enjoys reading, writing, baking Jamaican cakes and pastries, and watching sports. So we're very happy to have Pastor Aaron in worship with us today. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice
and be glad in it. And for those who are wondering, no, I'm not playing with my phone during church, but I want you to know this is how you engage your online community. So when you have people who are worshiping on church, you do ask them if they have prayer requests. Because I am in the position of doing this portion of it, I'm going to ask if anyone who has access to the Village Facebook site, if you're able to go on and engage that community and ask if they have prayers. Thank you, Casey. I appreciate that. So now we'll enter into our time for prayer requests, and we'll be very happy to take your requests at this time. So let us pray. Am I praying? I'm praying. You're praying. Okay. We're all praying. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Almighty God, we gather in your presence with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. Just as Solomon stood before your altar and spread out his hands to heaven, we come before you acknowledging your greatness and steadfast love. There's no God like you. In heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing mercy to your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, for the promises you have kept throughout generations. And as we come before you, O God, We ask that your eyes be open night and day toward this house, those of us gathered here today to worship, and all houses of worship. And may you hear the prayers of your people. You've heard the requests that have been made. Prayers of thanksgiving and praise and celebration for special times and moments and experiences and wonderful relationships. You have heard requests for over health concerns for those who are experiencing ailments or pain or difficulty in other forms. We pray your healing touch and your soothing balm. We pray, O God, for those who are going back to school, who have returned to school, that this new school year will be one of great fulfillment, and may we dare say one of success. We ask that you will guide and lead all those who study and all those who teach. We ask for those, O God, who travel or who are prepared to travel or who need the means to travel. We hear of requests for those who need to join family to get the relevant papers and the relevant documents to be able to join family or to be together. We pray, O God, that you'll open the door, that you will enable these things to come to pass. And, O God, the request for peace. So many things are going on. So many things are happening in this country, on this continent, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in the Middle East. So many places we seem to be teetering on the edge. Oh God, the God of peace, who sent the Prince of Peace, we ask that peace will prevail. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and let your name be glorified in all the earth. May all people come to know your great name, know your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. We pray for those who seek you, that they may find you and know your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Come on up. It's time for the children's story. I feel really fancy today. I've got a whole headset on. Anyway, good morning. How are you all doing today? You doing well? Give you a chance to talk in just a second. Good to see you. Good to see you. So I'm going to ask a silly question that you probably know the answer to, but is anything important happening this week coming up? Jordan. School. That's right. You're going to what?
To the big school.
You're going to the big school?
Tomorrow.
Wonderful. Yes. You'll be in kindergarten? Oh, wonderful. Now, some of you are probably feeling a little scared. You may be excited. Some of you may be a little sad that summer's coming to an end. No one's sad about that?
I'm sad.
You're sad. Okay. The pool? Yeah, we won't be able to go in a pool too much. Your tears are inside the pool? Okay. Every week he comes up with something else. Lord have mercy. And some of you may be... Sit down, please. No. Okay. Come sit. Just don't let me stay in control of this story, do you, son? Now, you'll have new teachers, right? You're going to have some new friends that you have in your classrooms, and maybe some old friends. Some of you are going to start a new school. I think three of you all are starting kindergarten, which is wonderful. Okay. So on the first day of school, the teacher may ask some questions of you, right? She might ask you, what? What are some things a teacher might ask you on your first day of school? Jordan? Are you smart? Okay. They might be so bold. Okay. Who else? Oh. What is your name? That's a good one. Yes, ma'am. If you'll be good on the lesson, that's a really important question. Yes, you've already gone on. Where do you live? Okay, they may ask you that. Well, either way, so we can see there'll be lots of questions that teachers... Stop it. So in our lesson today, we're going to talk about the disciples going back to school. That may sound a little weird, but it's some truth to it. All right, another question. Can anyone tell me who their teacher was? The disciples. Who was the disciples' teacher? Avery. Jesus, that's right. Yes. You know, Avery already got it right, so she was right. Jesus, right? So, on any day, Jesus may have taken his disciples aside to teach them more about his word and the kingdom of God. In fact, in the book of Matthew, it asks, "Who do men say that I am?" Now, as he was asking the disciples, much like a teacher may ask you this week, let's imagine that one disciple raised their hand, because you know, sometimes when you know the answer, you get really excited, right? You get really excited. So maybe one disciple raised his hand and said, I know, you might be John the Baptist. Then another may have said, I know. Some people say you are Elijah. A third may have said, some people may say you are Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Jesus was patient. He may have said, very good, very good. And he may have added, that is what other people say I am, but what do you say I am? And maybe one of the disciples, like Peter, got so excited he didn't raise his hand and he just blurted out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus may have said, you're right, Peter, you're right. You didn't learn that from other people, but you were taught by the word of the Lord. The lesson that the disciples learned that day is just as important today as it was then, is that many people in our world still don't know who Jesus is. But if we're ever asked by people in our lives, we need to be ready to answer. In fact, in the book of Matthew, it says, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember, God knows everything about you. So if you're nervous, understand. He knows you. He understands you. He wants you, as you walk with Jesus, to learn his word and share his word in love with other people. And there are things you get to do every week in church that help you do that. Maybe this story is of some help. Please sit down, son. Please. He's really shown me, this is the proof and point that they give me the business like every other person that does children's church. But there are things that we do in church that help us in our walk with Jesus. We sit up, Kyle. We have sermons where we learn the word. We have children's stories. We go to, some of you all are going to go back to children's church after the special music. But it isn't enough to know God for yourselves. It's important to live your lives as an example. You are going to be in trouble. Stop. So when you are asked by people about the Lord, be prepared to give good answers. And I wish you all a lot of luck this week. Okay, we're gonna bow our heads. We're going to say a prayer. We're going to not talk. You understand? All right. Shh. Heavenly Father, please protect and nurture our children as they begin a new year of school. Please help them with their confidence if they're nervous or scared. Or they could be very excited. We hope they're all going to be excited. But what we really pray for, Lord, whether it's the children that are the focus of this story or any of us in this sanctuary, is that as we walk with God, we have regular lessons and regular times to learn the Bible better and understand the Lord's word and his teachings. And so our prayer would be that all of us in this sanctuary always take advantage of the lessons that we can get every Sunday and throughout the week to understand the good word. In his name we pray, amen. Sit down.
I've never done that before. Oh.
with humble shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow with humble.
Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of God. May God give us understanding of his holy word.
Good morning, Village family. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. I'm especially delighted because I should have been with you some months ago, but COVID intervened and I couldn't make it. And I'm happy that you had extended a second invitation to be here to share worship and fellowship with you. And I'm especially delighted. My wife is here with us, as you heard, and part of the reason is that this is our anniversary weekend. We celebrate 35 years together as man and wife. Thank you. We celebrate it tomorrow, but Monday being Monday, we are using today as a special day of celebration. And I have to confess to you, if I had my own way, we would be on a cruise somewhere, perhaps in the Mediterranean, but life got in the way. And how better else to spend our anniversary celebration than in the house of God with God's people? We are delighted to be here. Bow your heads with me, let us pray. We ask, O God, that you speak to us as only you can speak. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts put together be acceptable and agreeable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We find ourselves today in a world marked by uncertainty, division, and fear. It can feel like we are constantly battling against unseen forces, trying to maintain our footing amidst chaos. Yet in the midst of this spiritual warfare, the Apostle Paul offers us a blueprint for victory. We just heard read Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 20. And in that passage, Paul paints a vivid picture of our spiritual reality and equips us with the necessary tools to overcome. Imagine for a moment that you are a soldier on a battlefield. The enemy is relentless. Their tactics deceptive. Victory depends on your preparation, your equipment, and your unwavering reliance on your commander. This is precisely the picture Paul paints for us in this passage. We are at war, but not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. But unlike earthly warfare, our victory is assured not by our own strength, but by the power of God. In the passage, Paul begins with an exhortation. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. The word finally is a summation of all that has been previously discussed in his letter. It is a call to consolidate our faith and stand firm in the Lord. This strength, however, is not our own. It is derived from the Lord, from God's power. We are not self-sufficient warriors. We are dependent on divine enablement. Paul makes it clear that our battle is not against physical adversaries, but against spiritual forces of evil. These are unseen powers, rulers, and authorities of darkness who seek to control and deceive. They wage war against our minds, our hearts, our souls. We are surrounded by enemies whose tactics are insidious and whose goal is our destruction. This reality can be daunting. The idea of facing such formidable foes can leave us feeling vulnerable and overwhelmed. Yet Paul's message is not one of despair, but one of hope and empowerment. He reminds us that while such enemies are formidable, our commander is invincible. God is greater than any force of darkness, and God has provided us the means to stand firm against these spiritual foes. The strength we need for this battle comes from the Lord. It is God's power that enables us to stand firm. This is a recurring theme in Scripture. In Isaiah 40, we are reminded that God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This divine strength is not something we can muster on our own. It is a gift from God, given to those who seek God and rely on God. It is through our relationship with God that we are empowered to face the challenges of spiritual warfare. Paul then introduces the concept of the armor of God. It is not a physical suit of protection, of course, we know that, but a spiritual outfit forged in the heavenly realm. Each piece of armor represents a specific aspect of our spiritual protection and offense. First, we are to fasten the belt of truth around our waist. Truth is the foundation upon which our faith is built. It is the word of God revealed in Scripture. Just as a belt supports the soldier's loins, the truth supports our spiritual core. It gives us stability and strength to stand firm. In a world filled with deception and lies, the truth of God's word anchors us, providing clarity and direction. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." By embracing this truth, we are equipped to discern falsehood and stand firm in our convictions. Next, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. This protects our hearts and our minds from the arrows of condemnation and guilt. Righteousness is not our own achievement, but a gift from God through faith in Christ. It is the armor that deflects attacks on our identity, who we are, and attacks on our worth. When we wear the breastplate of righteousness, we are reminded that we are justified by faith and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This protects us from the attempts to undermine our confidence and our assurance in God's love and in God's acceptance. God loves us. God accepts us regardless of who we are. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We are ambassadors of reconciliation, called to share the good news of salvation. As we walk in the world, our feet should be ready to proclaim peace and hope. We heard the prayer request earlier for peace. Oh, how the world needs peace at this time. The gospel of peace equips us to navigate the challenges and the conflicts of life with a message of reconciliation and hope. We need to hear the message of hope. The gospel of peace equips us to navigate the challenges and conflicts of life with a message that leads us to a time of coming together and sharing together. It empowers us to be peacemakers, bringing the light of Christ into dark and troubled places. As Paul writes in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Good news is so much better than the bad news. The shield of faith is our defense against the fiery darts of the evil one. These darts include temptations, lies, and accusations. Faith is our shield, quenching the fiery missiles of the enemy. It is through faith that we stand firm against doubt and fear. The shield of faith enables us to trust in God's promises and God's faithfulness. Even in the face of adversity, we are able to stand against those who stand against us. Hebrews 11 defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By holding up the shield of faith, we can extinguish the fiery doubts and fears that others seek to sow in our hearts. Then there's the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects our minds from attacks on our hope and the assurances that God gives, that God provides. Salvation is not merely an event. It is an ongoing process of transformation. You're not just saved and then that's it. We go through processes of transformation, processes of change, processes of development. By wearing the helmet of salvation, we protect our minds and our hearts from despair and hopelessness. The helmet of salvation reminds us of the hope we have in Christ and the assurance of our eternal destiny. It guards our hearts. It guards our thoughts and helps us to focus on the promises of God rather than on lies that others would want us to embrace and believe. As Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Finally, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the last of the full armor of God. This is our offensive weapon. The sword is an offensive weapon. I love the Game of Thrones. And I also love the House of the Dragon. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our offensive weapon, used to put through, that is used to cut through the darkness and expose the lies that abound. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged, any two-edged sword. It is through the power of God's word that we defeat deception, that we defeat deceit, that we defeat lies, that we defeat hatred. Jesus himself used the word of God to counter the temptations and the lies of the enemy in the wilderness. By immersing ourselves in scripture and allowing it to dwell richly in us, we are equipped to wield the sword of the Spirit effectively. As we put on the full armor of God, we become invincible. That may sound strange, invincible. We are mere mortals, are we not? Of course, we are mere mortals, but in Christ, there is that invincibility that we have. We are not defenseless against the spiritual forces of evil. We are equipped and empowered to stand firm. This armor is not just for our protection, but also for our empowerment to advance the kingdom of God. It enables us to stand firm in our faith, resist evil and hatred, and to proclaim the gospel with boldness. We need not be timid or afraid. The armor of God is a powerful metaphor for the spiritual resources that God has provided for us. Each piece of armor represents a vital aspect of our spiritual life and our relationship with God. By putting on the full armor of God, we are equipped to face the challenges of spiritual warfare with confidence and hope. We are reminded that our strength comes from the Lord, and that God has given us everything we need to stand firm and overcome. Mere mortals standing strong in the face of evil, in the face of deception, in the face of lies. Let us therefore take up the full armor of God, stand firm in God's strength, and face the reality of spiritual warfare with confidence and hope, for we are not alone in the battle. The Lord is with us, and the Lord is our strength and our shield. Having described the armor, Paul now turns to the importance of prayer, and I was so delighted that you take this prayer request. Prayer is at the heart of who we are as a people of God. He says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Prayer is not merely a request list, having a list of requests. It is a constant communion with God. A life of prayer is not necessarily just on your knees, making those requests and audibly pronouncing your requests. It is constant communion with God. It is through prayer that we receive strength, that we receive wisdom, that we receive guidance. Prayer is the lifeline that connects us to the power of God. It is not just asking for things, as I just declared. It is about building a relationship with God, building a relationship with our Creator. Through prayer, we express our dependence on God, acknowledging that we cannot fight the spiritual battle on our own. It is in this constant communion with God that we find the strength to stand firm. You hear how often that is said, standing firm, standing strong. Paul emphasizes the need to pray in the Spirit. This means allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our prayers, aligning our hearts with God's will. When we pray in the Spirit, we are not limited by our own understanding or desires. And that's a request. If we pray in the Spirit, we not just focus on what we want or what we feel or what we know. Instead, we tap into the infinite wisdom and power of God. Romans 8 reminds us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. Anyone has ever been in that place of prayer? Well, you don't even know, the words can't even come. You can't articulate the words. You can't even verbalize the words. But in deep groanings and anguish of spirit, you declare yourself to God. That, my brothers and sisters, my friends, is prayer. We are also called upon to pray for all the saints, interceding on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we know you are part of the Baptist World Alliance. I remember those days, Village Baptist. Your church was well known among us who work at the Baptist World Alliance. You're global citizens. You should be proud of that in a humble way. So when we pray not only for ourselves, again, the prayer request earlier, for peace, global peace, for what is happening elsewhere in the world. We are asked to pray for all the saints interceding on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of where they are, regardless of who they are. Our prayers are a powerful force for good, building up the body of Christ. When we pray for others, we participate in God's work in the lives of others. We become channels of God's grace, God's love, God's power. Intercessory prayer is an act of love and solidarity. When you pray for the saints in the Middle East, when you pray for the saints in Africa, when you pray for the saints in Asia, when you pray for the saints in Europe, when you pray for the saints across the road, when you pray for those who are very different from you, you're expressing solidarity. It reflects our commitment to the well-being of others and our recognition that we are all part of the same spiritual family. James 5 encourages us to pray for one another, stating that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Through our prayers, we can support and uplift those who are struggling, bringing them before the throne of grace. And we can pray for those who struggle by misrepresenting who we are as a church, holding up things that we know or believe to be not of the gospel, we pray for them anyway. And Paul also requests prayer for himself. He is an ambassador in chains. It is believed that this letter was written while he was in prison. He asked for prayer because he was an ambassador in chains, facing opposition and danger. His request is a reminder that we are all part of this larger mission. We are called to pray for those who are on the front lines of the spiritual battle. This includes pastors, missionaries, other Christian leaders who face unique challenges and pressures. You heard that I've been to several countries, and oh my gosh, we have no idea many times of the pressures that others are under. I remember visiting an underground church in Izmir, Turkey, who had to worship in quietness, and we had to be taken there in secret. They kept their faith, even though they know that their lives were in danger. Paul also requests prayer for those who are facing the worst of the worst, because they need our prayers for protection. They need our prayers for wisdom, and they need our prayers for strength. In Colossians 4, he asks the believers to pray that God may open a door for the message so that he may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Our prayers can help to open doors for the gospel and provide the support that leaders and others need to fulfill their calling. Prayer, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, is not optional. It's not optional. It is essential. It is the lifeline that connects us to the power of God. Through prayer, we tap into infinite resources of the divine. Without prayer, we are like soldiers without communication with their commander, vulnerable and directionless. Jesus himself modeled the importance of prayer. He often withdrew to solitary places to pray, seeking communion with the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed fervently, seeking strength for the ordeal ahead. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to pray, how much more do we? Persistent prayer is a demonstration of our faith and our trust in God. It shows that we believe in God's power and God's willingness to act on our behalf. Jesus taught the parable of the persistent widow to illustrate the importance of persistent prayer. Read that story in Luke 18. The widow's persistence eventually led to justice being served. Similarly, our persistent prayers can bring about God's intervention in our lives and in the lives of others. And prayer, my sisters, my brothers, not only changes circumstances, it changes us, we who pray. As we spend time in God's presence, we are transformed. Our hearts are aligned with God's. Our minds are renewed. Our spirits are strengthened. Philippians 4 encourages us to present our request to God with thanksgiving, promising that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. Through prayer, we gain a deeper understanding of God's will and a greater sensitivity to God's leading. When you pray, we are more open to what God desires and where God leads. We become more attuned to the needs of others and more willing to serve. Through prayer, we more open ourselves to what others need and what it is that they need to grow and to develop and to be at peace. Prayer cultivates a spirit of humility and dependence. We realize that we serve a God who is bigger than who we are, reminding us that we are not self-sufficient, but reliant on God's grace. Yes, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20, our passage for the day, reminds us of the spiritual battle we face and the divine resources available to us. The Apostle Paul urges us to be strong in the Lord and to put on the full armor of God. This armor, which includes the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, equips us to stand firm against the forces of evil. Just on the way to service this morning, one of the songs that was playing on Spotify, that our playlist, was Donna McClurkin's Stand. I love that song. Stand. Moreover, prayer is our lifeline, connecting us to God's power and wisdom. Through constant communion with God, interceding for others, and praying for our leaders, we are strengthened and guided in our spiritual journey. Prayer is not optional, but essential, as it transforms us and aligns our hearts with God's will. Let us, therefore, commit to a life of prayer and reliance on God's strength. As we put on the full armor of God and engage in persistent prayer, we are empowered to stand firm and overcome the challenges of spiritual warfare. Remember, we are not alone in this battle. The Lord is with us, and God is our strength, and God is our shield. Amen. The song, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
receive the benediction. As we go forth from this place, may we be ever mindful of the spiritual battle that surrounds us. May we stand firm in the strength of the Lord, clothed in the full armor of God, that the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit be our constant companions. May we find our strength in the Lord, who empowers us to face every challenge with courage and hope. Let us remain steadfast in prayer, seeking constant communion with God, interceding for one another, and lifting up our leaders, missionaries, and fellow believers. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And may we go forth as ambassadors of reconciliation, bringing the light of Christ into a world in need. Go in peace, equipped and empowered by the grace of God, to stand firm and to proclaim the gospel with boldness.